Thank you, team. Wonderful job this morning, as is always the case. Appreciate your ministry to the church. How many here want to be winners? Let me see your hand if you want to be a winner. Wow. I can't believe there's some people that don't want to be a winner. They'd rather be losers. Just can't believe that. But you know, if you want to be on God's side, you got to want to be a winner. If you don't want to be a winner, apparently you want to be on a loser's team. Because Satan and all that he has is going to lose. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the fact, in case you want to look at it, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He talks about the fact that, you know, even winners are going to be going through trials. They're going to be going through testings. But it's going to come down to whether or not they have what it takes to be on God's team. And have what it takes to come out on top. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 read like this. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I want us to take a few minutes and consider what it means to be on the winning side. I have been asked to not mention the fact that the Yankees are in first place in their division, so I will not mention that. I have also been asked not to mention that Cleveland is falling fast, so I'll not mention that. All right? I want to be careful not to do that kind of thing, because I've promised I wouldn't do that. I won't say if you want to be on the winning side, be on the Yankee side. I won't say that. But you know, there is an area of life that I want to be on the winning side. I want to be on God's team. And I realize that if I am going to be what God wants me to be, it's going to take work on my part. And it's going to take faithfulness. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take really striving to be all that God wants me to be, not just trying to skate through. Eric, how'd the race go last night? Went good? Did Wesley end up as a point champion? Hey. Good job, Wesley. Did Eric wind up as a point champion? Second? Well, that's good. That's good. Of course, there are only two people in the race. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. That's not true. But you know... I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. There were three in the race. Oh, okay. You know, but in reality, when we want to really be winners, it takes hard work. And it's that way with our spiritual lives, as well as our everyday lives. And as Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth, he's letting the people know right up front, you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some struggles, because we all do. We all go through struggles and trials. Oh, but nobody's as bad trials as I go through. Don't even try to kid yourself. We are all going through difficult times. And folks, it becomes important that we place our confidence in the one who has promised to go through those times with us and not leave us to go through those times ourselves. And so we've got to hang on tight to who he is and follow through with what he has asked us to do in order to come through as pure gold and be able to come into his presence. I want to share with you four things that are brought out in these two verses. The very first thing, if we want to be on a winning side, we need to realize that we are going to be troubled, but not distressed. Troubled, but not distressed. The eighth verse puts it this way: we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Troubled, but not distressed. Afflicted, but not crushed. Trouble began for the human race when man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. From that moment on, people have had struggles and trials and testings and difficulties. And they've had to endure sins and sin's consequences. And they have had to struggle with life at its very best. They've had to struggle. But they don't become distressed, or they don't become, if you will, crushed under the load of those things, because they have a God who is greater and stronger and has more power than any of the difficulties that they might face in this world. Christians have troubles, but they have one to whom they can go and on whom they can depend. And we don't need to be distressed. We don't need to be crushed. Because we can hold our heads up. Because the God of all victory is our God, if we'll follow him. Troubled, but not distressed. The next thing I want us to look at is the fact that we're going to be perplexed, but we're not going to be in despair. There are many problems to deal with in our world. Millions of people are frustrated, they're confused, and they're perplexed. And they're not really sure that they want to pay the price to be what God wants them to be. And so they don't dedicate themselves to following through with everything that God asks of them. You'll notice that eighth verse continuing on says, look, we're not crushed, we're perplexed, but not despairing. In other words, we don't give up hope. We know that our hope is in the Lord. And we know that when we place our confidence in him, we place our trust in him, when we faithfully and obediently walk with him, he will take the difficulties in our lives and help us to work our way through it. You know, it constantly amazes me at the number of people that think, well, you know what, if I give my heart to Jesus, all my problems will go away. It's not true. It's simply not true. All your problems don't go away. In fact, in this life, becoming a Christian adds some issues, because it invites the attacks of Satan that he didn't have in your life before that. But the blessing and the benefit is that he has promised to go with you through every difficulty. Do you remember the 23rd Psalm? The psalmist says this. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." You, Lord, go with me. So we don't have to worry about being in despair. We just need to focus and concern ourselves with being who God wants us to be and being faithful to Him. Now notice the third thing that is brought out. It says we are persecuted but not deserted. Persecuted but not forsaken. When things get tough, God doesn't take off. And in fact, He comes in closer to us if we'll just simply pay attention to Him and look for Him and pay real close attention to what He wants to do. Even in our persecutions, God develops our character. And He develops our spiritual strength and integrity. We are persecuted but not forsaken. Persecution has been the lot of Christians throughout the centuries. And yea, in 2 Timothy 3:12 we read this, "Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know what? If you're not being persecuted, you're not living as close to the Lord as you need to live. You're not. When you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. The world is going to come after you, and they're going to do everything they can to reject you. Satan is going to be hounding you if you're going to live godly and live a godly life before Him. Persecution may come in the form of abusive treatment, may come in the form of silence. It may come in more subtle ways. But persecution will come. You don't have to worry about that if you hang tight. Church history tells us about Peter. Peter came down to the end of his life, and as he was ready to be crucified, you know, Peter was crucified like Jesus was crucified. At least that's what church history tells us. And Peter, in those last fleeting moments, remember, this is Peter who denied Christ at the time of the crucifixion. This is Peter who backed off in the book of Galatians, backed away from the Christian believers, the Gentile Christian believers, because he was being drawn aside by some Jews. It's that same Peter. When it came time for him to be crucified, Peter's last request was this: "Crucify me upside down, for I'm not worthy to die in the manner of my Lord." He didn't ask not to be crucified. He asked, "Crucify me upside down, for I'm not worthy to die in the manner of my Lord." Persecution. It's going to come. There are going to be all different fashions that persecution comes. Throughout this world today, there are those who are being persecuted for their faith, and it's costing them their very lives. When you look at some of the Christians that live in Muslim nations, and they're getting beheaded, and they're getting brutalized, almost to the point of death, and then they leave them alone a little while, till they regain some strength, and then they come back at them again. All in attempts to get them to deny their faith and to give their heart to Islam. And yet these Christians are saying, no, I believe in Jesus Christ. Persecutions are real. And folks, they're coming here. And we'd better be prepared for it. We'd better be ready. But we need to realize that even when persecution comes, we're not going to be deserted. For Jesus Christ will go with us through everything. We must trust in the Lord and rely on His promises. And He promises that when things get like that, I'll never leave you. I'll not forsake you. I will be with you. The last thing is this, that Paul writes in these two verses. He says we're going to be cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Peter could relate to Christ's sufferings because he too suffered and died for his faith. But he also shared in the life that Jesus Christ gives. We must be willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. A lot of people aren't. Because they don't want to pay the price to be what God wants. And so when difficulties come, they run. They run. They don't stay and face the difficulties. They run. And that's not what God has asked us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that if we suffer, we shall also reign with Christ. If we go through the difficulties, we'll reign with Him. Christians may be cast down at times, but they need not be destroyed. Faithfulness to God brings victory. Now and forever. We're going to be troubled, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not deserted. Cast down, but not destroyed. If we hold tight to Christ. You see, folks, our relationship with Jesus Christ is largely dependent upon our faithfulness to Him. If we'll abide in Him, Jesus said, He'll abide in us. That means that word abide means remain. If we remain in Him, He'll remain in us. He'll walk with us through any difficulty that this world throws at us. What will you do? You going to be a winner? Or are you going to be content to be a loser? You're going to be a winner. You have to live life God's way. Let's stand. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us here today would make the choice to be a winner. Lord, that each one of us would seek intimacy with You and faithfulness to You in such a way that we would be able to hear at the end of this life those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into Your joy." So, Father, teach us to live for you. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. For you are the God who is worthy. And it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Please give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you. Have a great day in Jesus.